Ladies and virgins, Andy here, day 254 of the Inner Winner Show. Here we are, guys. This is the interview that you have all been waiting for. So I sat down with Ed, one of my longtime coaching clients. This is a guy who's seen me for about 2 years now. And in that time, he's gone from a depressed, very uncertain virgin at age 31 to an ass-kicking, much more confident and self-assured man who's gone on to have sex with 12 women at the time of recording. Hell, it's probably more by the time you guys are listening to this. He's one of the guys that I have to say I am the most proud of. His journey very much mirrors my own. He's also the poster child for just getting shit done, even when it's hard, and he's the poster child for not making bullshit excuses that a lot of guys make. He's 5'6", so he's rather short, and again, he was a virgin age 31, as well as being super depressed for many, many years, but he shut the fuck up, he got it done, even though it was really hard for him. Trust me, I was there for a lot of like very low moments in his life. This guy really, really, really struggled and really, really, really did the hard work. And trust me, even though, as you're going to see in this interview, he's a pretty humble guy and he doesn't talk about this much, he really struggled to get to where he is now. It was really fucking hard for him. He's the definition of, if I can do it, you sure as hell can too. So on that note, I really don't want to hear any more excuses from people about I'm too short or I'm too old or it's too late for me. Ed didn't complain about his height a single time or his age. I never once heard him complain. He just took action instead. So if you're a short guy or an older guy, you need to do the same. Shut up, take action, no more complaining. And Ed really has gone on to make some truly amazing improvements. So from upping his confidence to overhauling his style, moving across the country to a city where he can get laid much more easily, to making friends, learning how to establish healthy boundaries in his life, in other words, learning how to say no to people. And a couple of days before we sat down to record this podcast that you're about to listen to, he had a day where he talked to 25 girls in public in a single day, and he ended up getting 7 phone numbers, which is absolutely mental. That is above and beyond what he thought that he was capable of. And at this point in time, he's now taking photos with models that he finds through Instagram and through other photographers and sticking those photos of him and the girls modeling together on his Tinder profile. It's been, I have to say, a really amazing wild ride watching his journey over the last 2 years since I started working with him. And I have to say, I feel goddamn blessed to be his coach. Like, this guy absolutely is like the hardest working person that you'll ever meet. It's been absolutely amazing getting to see him grow and getting to be a part of that. And God knows he's been through some tough times. So I have nothing but the utmost respect for Ed. He is an absolute legend. Enjoy these interviews we did together. There's 2 interviews. This is the first one. There'll be one tomorrow. And if you feel like you'd benefit from coaching like Ed has, and you have to be willing to put in the work and work as hard as he has, I'll leave a link in the description below to where you can contact me if you want to become a coaching client of mine. You sound very professional, by the way, with that mic. Oh, so
thank you. Does it get weird if I'm like this close to it?
Yeah, it's like sexual. It's like the ASMR shit, right? So from my point of view, you don't exist before the start of June 2019. Like, you weren't a person before that. You came to me for coaching June 2019. I never knew you before that. And that was like the story of Ed. And you were like a virgin. You were 31. You'd messed around sexually with 6 girls, I think. Couldn't get it up.
Yep.
You were very depressed, or at least that's how it seemed from my point of view. Very depressed, very anxious when you first started seeing me. I guess like, I had this weird, so when you first started seeing me, and I'm going to ask you this question in a second, I was like, yeah, I can fucking help this guy. Like, I don't know why I thought I could help you. I don't know why, because you came to me with like not a laundry list, but like a few big issues. Like, hey, I'm virgin 31, don't even know if it's possible to get it up. I have all these erectile dysfunction issues.
Yeah,
I want to be a player. But something in my head was just like, yeah, this guy can fucking do it. I don't know why. Because I don't think that about everyone, but there was something that like ticked me off with you. That okay, this guy can do it. Because but I did think that you may have been someone that might quit. So I knew you could do it, but I wasn't sure if you wouldn't quit. I'm curious, I guess, when you first came to me, did you think, first of all, that you could be helped, or that I could help you, or that like you'd get to where you are now? Like, did you think that was possible?
I thought it was possible. Yeah, I guess I'd been reading stuff from Good Looking Loser and your website for a while. I'd seen a lot of success stories. So I believed it was possible. People seem to have come from worse situations for me and managed to have success. So I didn't see myself giving up.
I mean, you say that, but like You are the poster child that I tell to other people when they're saying like, oh, but I don't know if I can do it. You know, I'm a virgin. I'm 25. I'm like, bro, I got this other client. And that was the reason that I said, can we please do a podcast at some point? Because I got sick of having to tell other people like, oh, I have this guy. Like, you know, you're just some like theoretical guy. And I assume half of the people think I'm full of shit when I bring up like, oh, this guy was like 31, like blah, 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 like all this stuff. And now there's like an actual face. Like I can actually say, yeah, go watch this podcast and like, please stop thinking that you can't do it too. So from your point of view, I guess before you came to see me, was that a decent summary of where you're at? You know, Virgin 31, was there anything I missed off there?
Those are the big ones. I've kind of got like a whole run through my history up until that point. That was, I mean, you say it was like I was in a rough spot, but I feel I was on the upswing from where I'd been in previous years.
So what was worse in previous years?
What was worse in previous years? Probably like turning 21 on my 21st birthday, like alone with no friends and ex-girlfriend that dumped me like 2 years previously and no prospects for friends or sex or anything, and flunking out of college like a year after that and then moving back with my parents was probably even a worse situation. And then probably getting depressed and really down about life sometime after that too. So yeah, there's a good like 6 year period there where things were pretty rough.
Which is interesting to me to hear, because that isn't something you've told me. Like I knew that you briefly touched on it once or twice, but it's like interesting to hear you say that stuff. Cause you know, when I met you, it was like, oh, look at this guy. You know, he's got all these changes to make. It's interesting to hear that you had even more changes that you made before that, like before June 2019. And I think that's a good lesson for guys who are out there going like, oh, I'm depressed or I'm a virgin. It's too late for me. I've got all these issues. I mean, that's part of the reason why people listen to my shit is because I started, it sounds like where you were, depressed as fuck, no friends. Mm-hmm. And it's nice to see your story. You're a nice story. You're a nice boy. You're a nice story. I like your story.
Thank you.
Seeing how far, I feel like I've been very blessed to be a part of that, like to be able to see that. And so I would like us to do it justice somewhat today. We're not going to do a perfect job, but part of this podcast is going through like a lot of the changes you've made. You know, I guess you can briefly touch on how did you start making friends? Like, how did you go from, what did you do before you met me? And you don't have to give a whole life story, but maybe just in one or two paragraphs, like what changes did you make before, you know, you came to Good Looking Loser and my website?
Yeah, I guess I thought I'd go through some of like the history of where I was because just kind of give the example of, because you said you're doing this because of guys that think they're in a rough spot. So I guess I wanted to flesh out how rough a spot, you know, I was in for a while. Just kind of give the background story. Mm-hmm. So I guess going back, start back at the beginning. When I was a kid, I grew up out in the country. So we didn't have a whole lot of neighbors and friends to hang out with. So I was mostly by myself, brother and sister. I was the oldest. So there wasn't a lot of like socialization, like outside of school or outside of like kind of organized activities. I wasn't popular in high school. I had a prom date who I met. Oh, she was like a friend of a friend. And I asked her out through AOL Instant Messenger. And she said yes. And then her mom and my mom basically organized everything. And that's how I ended up at prom. So nothing really exciting there. That's like adorable. Nothing. Like it's kind of cute, but it's also kind of, I don't want to say pathetic or sad, but like there wasn't like a whole lot of initiative or action on my part. It was kind of like,
yeah,
everybody kind of took care of things. I got lucky in that sense. Like it was just like, it just kind of happened. Not a lot of friends. I feel like in retrospect, like through high school and into college, I had very little like unsupervised time with friends, as you would call it. Unsupervised time with my peers. Like there wasn't a whole lot of like, I didn't go to parties. I didn't like hang out like with friends, like outside of like school activities and stuff. So everything was very like structured. I feel like there was a lot of like missing social development in a sense of like, you know, what do 21 year olds do hang out when they're not in front of their parents, when they're not in front of their teachers or professors, you know, when they can just be themselves. There was not a lot of that in my...
It's like that freedom to experiment and grow.
Yeah. There was a lot of like discomfort, like just being in college, like with people who were drinking, being like, are we supposed to be doing this? Like, we're not 21. Like, this is wrong. Like, something bad could happen. Or just not being able to like unplug and let loose and socialize in those situations and feeling like horribly awkward. Also tied to that, there was a lot of like judging people for drinking and partying and stuff like in high school, especially in high school and a little bit in the college, that like they were somehow like lying to people, that they were dishonest to themselves or to whoever the adults in our life, like that was like a bad thing to do. And I think it was definitely like a coping mechanism. Like I was invited to those parties, but that didn't matter because they were like losers they were like bad people who like lied about what they did on the weekend. But I could tell everyone, yep. I could tell the teacher everything I did on the weekend. There'd be no judgment. So yeah, I was a good guy. And
yeah, I had a bunch of that as well. I avoided a lot of parties and I didn't drink until I was 19. Then I became a raging alcoholic for a while. So that was great. But yeah, I had the same like holier than thou mentality of like, yep. I'm a good person. I'm not doing the bad thing. I'm not underage drinking. And then now look at me fucking LSD taking hippie.
Parents would be so proud, wouldn't they? How would your English teacher, 11th grade English teacher, think of you now?
I don't even remember her name, but I do know that I hated her. I hated English, but that's a side tangent. Back to you, back to your story.
So then college, freshman year, I got my first girlfriend through like dumb luck, basically friend of a friend and a bunch of misinterpretation of signs and lots of horrible teenage awkwardness. Ended up with a girlfriend. She was really chill. She was super hot. She was kind of quiet. So that fit well with my personality. We just like hang out and like not really do anything and just be like chill with each other. And so that was good. We dated for like 6 months and then I transferred to a different school. So it became long distance and then things kind of fell apart and she finally broke up with me, yeah, like 6 months later. But things were kind of rough along the way with anything related to sex and intimacy up until, I don't know, when I finally got rid of these ideas, almost probably like 25 or something. I had these views that like women didn't like casual sex, that I think I got all my sexual education from Everybody Loves Raymond. If you remember that sitcom show.
Loved that show. Yeah.
Not a good place to teach young teenagers and adults what sexuality is like, because there were maybe this is
or
just
masculinity or family.
Yeah, yeah. All those things. The part that I would take away from it was that there were at least multiple plot lines where because the main character, Ray Romano, he's like this like kind of pudgy sort of middle class, whatever kind of dude, sports writer. And his wife's like generally hotter than he is. And a lot of the plot lines revolve around him wanting sex and her not being super into it. She wanted like other things. She wanted him to like help out with the kids. She wanted him to like provide emotional support. She wanted him to like provide for the family. When those things went well, she seemed to be happy but there wasn't much interest in her from the actual having sex. It was like, he was a kind of the typical American middle-class, middle-aged horn dog. And she's just like the, what do you call it? Like angelic type of like sexually pure woman.
Yeah.
So that's my ideas going into like this first relationship, is that like, she didn't really want sex. She wanted like emotional support from me or whatever, but she didn't want sex for the sake of having sex. That like, that wasn't something women wanted. There are women who actually would have lots of sex, you know, like sluts as we would call them. This was a kind of a difficult thing for me to process at the time. I remember thinking that like women only did that like out of an act of desperation or like misjudgment or like they were drunk or they regretted it. That like no woman ever had like a genuinely enjoyable casual sexual experience like for the sake of it, was kind of my viewing. And that women would use sex as like an emotional to get what they wanted out of men. Like, I'll give you sex and you give me the emotional and the financial and the relationship support or whatever that I'm looking for.
Yeah, I can remember having all these conversations with you, which is why I keep saying yeah, yeah, yeah as you're talking. I'm not saying yeah, I agree with what you're saying, but I'm saying yeah because it's like I can remember these conversations where you came to me and you're like, do women actually want casual sex? And I was like, of course they do. And there was that whole processing of like, doesn't that make them bad people? And it's like, no, like they just want sex.
Yeah.
And are you telling me that I can remember these conversations? Are you telling me I'm allowed to just say to her, hey, I want to hook up, hey, I want to have sex, and she'll say like, hey, me too? That this was a very big like learning experience for you when it took us quite a while too.
And even the casual sex stuff we talked about, but I mean, this case when I was like in college with this first girlfriend, this was like even worse than that. As a freshman in college, like this was even worse than the conversations that we had about casual sex. Like back then I didn't even think that like literally this woman who I'd seen for 6 months, we were like, you know, very emotional with each other. We committed relationship for, you know, medium-term relationship at that point, and like still not thinking that like she just didn't want me to fuck her. Like she's like not understanding that like she like physically wanted sex. Like that was like literally like I did not process that as like a real thing that she wanted.
How dare a woman want sex?
Yeah. And then despite being like emotional with each other and talking about everything, we didn't talk about sex and stuff. And so I had all this anxiety around doing it. And so we tried to have sex like 3 or 4 times and it didn't work out. One time in particular, like ended with her like crying and feeling like, you know, that she wasn't doing a good job. And that I was upset that like, you know, I couldn't do what we wanted to do. And yeah, not a good spot to be like with your girlfriend in bed and she's crying because like you lost an erection and
yeah,
you haven't talked about how anxious you are at sex and now it's all like coming out all at once.
Yeah, and she's thinking I must be doing something wrong because you haven't had that conversation where you just say, hey, yeah, by the way, like I'm a bit nervous. And so, yeah, you know, my dick might not work.
Mm-hmm. So we broke up. I was like 19, 20 to 21, 22. Yeah, I'm in college, like alone. Like I said, I spent 21st birthday, like alone by myself, like in the dorm room. No friends or anything happening like that. So that wasn't fun. Another interesting story, age like 23, I did manage to secure like my second girlfriend of sorts. This was also a case of not really understanding female dynamics and things like that. I was like 23. She was 19. She was just wanted something casual, you know, like, cause that's what people do at the time. She's in college. You know, I'm, you know, working a job in the city there. We had like a mutual friend through my cousin. I don't know, like 100% like typical. I hate using the term like beta male, but that's, it's just so like clingy and like taking things way too seriously. I remember like we were 3 weeks into our relationship and she talked about how like one of the next semesters she wanted to study abroad and me thinking like, oh, that's going to like be rough to do like a long distance relationship with her. Like I'm worried about like this. First off, that's not going to be till like 5 months from now. And then second, like we've been seeing each other for like 3 weeks and we're talking about long distance relationships. Like, so I'm very not understanding female dynamics. Also, we hung out on a Halloween night and this is probably the most embarrassing story of my life. Like when, you know, those like never have I ever or drinking games where you have to like show the yep. most embarrassing story of your life. I always share like the second most embarrassing story. Cause this one is just too much to really like put out in the open in a lot of situations, but just to set the scene. So we're going to hang on Halloween, like Friday night. I was like big into like doing some like woodworking stuff. So I was like making this whole costume with like a sword that like lit up and things like that. So I'm like super like into this costume, like that's all I was like focused on that week. And then I'm gonna hang out with her and we're gonna go like go around campus. They're doing some like Halloween events and stuff like that, and watch a Halloween movie at her in her dorm or something. So I was super excited about that, not about anything with her really, not about having sex, not understanding how, you know, most 19-year-old girls on college campus think about having their Halloweens going, especially when her costume was basically like slutty Christmas elf. Like it had like a skirt and like all this stuff. Yeah, so that's what she wears.
The world's biggest signals.
Yeah, I'm not thinking that at all. I'm thinking like, oh, this is gonna be costume is so cool. So I was like up late, like at night, like working on that. So like it was like tired, like going into that like Halloween night. We do the Halloween stuff, end up back at her dorm. She's like super physically into it. Like she's way more like horny than she usually is. We'd only like made out with like clothes on and stuff at that point. So and she's doing that and we're kind of like, you know, dressing a little bit, making out. And then I looked at the time and I'm like, oh geez, it's like 11:30 or something. I got work tomorrow, like I gotta go. Even though like I was already going to be tired that next day, whatever, because like I was only going to get like 6 hours of sleep anyway. So what does it matter if I get like 6 hours of sleep or 4 hours of sleep? Like this girl like wants me to fuck her right now. But like completely oblivious to like what was going on. I'm just like, okay, I got it. And like literally like walked out of the room. Like she's like there, like in this slutty Christmas elf costume on Halloween night. I think she had a drink or two in her dorm room, making out, being physical. And I just like walked out.
I feel like everybody has one of these stories. Like I have plenty, and I've talked to so many people on this podcast and just other coaching clients and stuff that like you have one of those really cringeworthy stories where a girl is basically sitting on your penis and you just don't do anything. And I tell you what, and I know you'll probably agree with this. Like you look back and you're like, man, I feel so sorry for that girl. It's like, if she's listening, hey, I'm sorry. Like it wasn't you. You were really attractive. Like, I'm sorry. I was just nervous. Like it's not you. Please. And the poor girl's probably carried that not for the rest of their lives, but for a couple of years, like, man, I'm ugly. And it's like, no, the guy was just nervous.
Yeah. Yes. Unfortunate. So then that was like 23, 24, finally got a good job and like moved out on my own. Started meeting some other guys who were into like pickup artist stuff. I read The Game, the Neil Strauss book, kind of got it into that. Like
shout outs to Neil Strauss.
Yeah, first exposure to this real like pickup artist type mentality of things. And I started online dating and getting into that stuff some more around that time. I met one girl through that. We tried to have sex like 3 times, but it didn't work out. And she ended up being long distance. So we didn't see each other much after that. So it was just like a very brief thing. Saw each other for like 2 weekends basically and tried to have sex a couple times. And same things, anxiety. At least I was able to talk about it some more, and she was more chill about it. And I guess it went better than, like, she wasn't crying in the bed, so it wasn't horrible. At least being comfortable with that, like, helped things. But still feeling disappointed that, like, I couldn't see her more. I couldn't get more experience with her. It'd been like 2.5 years since the previous girl at that point. And like, this is basically all I'm getting is, like, you know, 2 weekends.
That's a long gap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's not working out when I do get it, and I barely get it. So, yeah, feeling depressed about that. A couple more years later, age 28, met up with two more girls, like within a month or two, that summer through online dating. But at that point, I had been like so stressed out, and it had been like years since I'd been like with the previous girl again. It had been like, you know, a year and a half, 2 years that I just, I didn't even try to have sex with them. We just kind of like fooled around and did some other stuff. And I didn't want to like stress myself out, which was fun. And it was good to like, you know, get some sort of gratification of some sort. But yeah, it just feels bad. Again, they were both short term. The one girl was in college, and we met up like literally like 2 weeks before like she graduated and left town. And the other girl was out of town, long distance thing too. So more of the same, just not really getting any experience and any opportunities.
I was going to quickly say, it's funny you say, you know, we didn't end up having sex and that was kind of nice, because I'm fast forwarding here, but we'll talk about this in a bit. That was kind of one of the strategies that we used. So
yeah,
just giving yourself permission to not have sex and not have these expectations and just kind of fool around and have a bit of fun. But carry on with the rest of the story. We'll talk about that stuff in a minute.
Yeah. So then through the next couple of years, 28, 29, 30, I was like more depressed, started seeing a therapist, went to group therapy for like, I think it was like two and a half years I was seeing group therapy for. Therapist for like 4 years or so. Antidepressants I feel like really helped. That was like a year or two that I was on those. That was kind of like the worst parts. Totally unmotivated to go to the gym, like feeling like there was no prospects for meeting women or going on dates. I think I'd started reading some of the Good Looking Loser stuff. So I'd some better ideas, like philosophically, like I knew that women like sex and at least what was sort of possible in the world, and, you know, ideas about being honest and upfront, but like no motivation or really self-esteem to be able to achieve any of that. Yeah. And then I remember turning 30, I was out of town. We went on a vacation with a friend, just a platonic friend that I had, and feeling really depressed there. I was 30 years old and out of town, not really able to like take action on any of my goals, and feeling very stuck and pretty burned out. I guess things were kind of getting better with the therapy and stuff. And I think finally, like just as I turned 31, was kind of when I started to get back into things. There was one thing that I remember reading online that was, because I started like really internalize some of the things that like Chris and Good Looking Loser had said, you know, that sort of what was possible out there. I remember looking up on YouTube, searching something like, I think the video got removed because I couldn't find it no matter how hard I did, but some sort of life coach type guy, or I found his video when I was searching for how do you achieve something that you don't believe is possible. He had a whole spiel about it, but basically his gist was, you have to tell yourself, you have to admit that you are not an expert. You don't have the knowledge to be able to make, you know, decisions on this topic. You can't really decide what is true and what is false. So your opinion on what is accurate, what is possible and what is not possible should not be taken as like an informed opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like that was where I kind of came to like looking to experts, like experts. I felt like Chris, and like, if they can do it, then like, it must be possible. You know, I think it's not possible, but you know, I'm not an expert at this. That was what I remember telling myself.
And that was a conversation you and I had a couple of times as well, where it's basically like, you're a newbie, like you're a dumbass. You don't know anything. Like you can't be saying like, oh, it's not possible. It's almost like you have to just trust me that I've worked with other people. At that point in time, you were like one of the first few clients I had. I think you were like my 10th client. But like I'd seen enough changes in friends' lives and my own life and stuff like that. So you kind of have to just trust me when I say like, you can do it, dude. Of course you can.
Yep.
Even though you have all these doubts, insecurities, because like I had them all too. Of course I did. Those don't have to preclude you or stop you from achieving greatness, the insecurities. You can have them and achieve greatness.
Yeah. In fact, I remember reading some of your blogs. That was some of the motivational stuff. This was right around, I think, the time that you were starting to have threesomes and figuring that out. And I remember like waking up at like 5 in the morning to go to the gym and trying to get the gym habit back in under control, and waking up and like reading some of your posts about, you know, having these threesomes, and you were just like figuring things out in Tinder where you're like, hey, like I can just tell chicks like straight up, like I'm looking for BDSM sex, and like they'll say yes, and we just like have sex, and we don't have to. It's like way simple. I'm like, wow, this is like so motivating. Andy's like amazing. I'm a hero. And that being motivation, like, all right, time to like get off my butt and get out of bed and go to the gym and make things happen.
a lot of the time just seeing someone else do it makes you think like, oh shit, like this guy isn't amazing. He's not a god. He's just like a dude like me. He's just done it for a little bit longer. So he's a little more confident and comfortable with it, but he's still having struggles. He's like having to improve himself and stuff. And so if he can do it, shit, maybe I can do it as well. That's kind of the basis of my website. If I can do it, you sure as hell can too.
Mm-hmm. So that brings us up to right around the time I was turning 31, a couple months before I started working with you, just to bring us up to where we are. So I'd been sexually active since I was, like, let's say 15, right? It's 13 years of my life. And yet I'd been only physical with four women. I had 1 6-month girlfriend. I'd failed to have sex with two women. I hadn't been with a girl for 2 years and 8 months at that time.
When you say being physical, you're not talking about sex.
Yep. Not even just intercourse, just any sort of like making out type of sex. Yeah. It had been 2 years and 8 months, like when I finally got back into it at age 31. So yep. Then I got back into online dating. I gave myself, this is one of the tips I feel like that has helped me along the way, is to give yourself like a sort of pessimistic expectation that I say, like a very pessimistic goal. I'm like, okay, all I want, like this is going to suck and it's not going to get dates and I'm all these crappy conversations with women and get rejected and everything. But in 6 months, I just want to have a date with one girl. Like that's all I want. Set this really low bar. And in reality, I got a date with a really cute girl in 3 weeks and we ended up having sex or hooking or fooling around. We didn't have intercourse, but we fooled around. She wanted to have sex, but I had too much anxiety and I was like, it's been 2.5 years. Let's just not fool around with any of that. And so we just fooled around and that was way more optimistic than like what my goal had been.
And you use the word pessimistic. That's not how I would frame it. I'd frame it like slight edge or like a baby goal, like a tiny little mini goal that you can achieve. And so I will have one day in 6 months is a pretty small goal. I think pretty much every guy on the planet can achieve that in 6 months. Of course you can. Everyone can.
Yep.
And so it's more like a low bar, an easy to achieve goal rather than like a pessimistic one. I know you were pessimistic about it, but for other guys, you don't have to be pessimistic. Just set like a low goal and make that happen.
Yep.
And to be clear, I don't know if this comes across in what you were saying to the listeners, but I hope it does. You were still a virgin at this time, like before you this girl. So you'd fooled around. Every time we're talking about getting physical with a girl, you'd messed around and stuff, but like you had some issues, performance anxiety, that kind of stuff, like too much nervousness. You were like, there's no way in hell, like my dick just won't work. Mm-hmm. So you were still a virgin at this point. And this was like roughly the time that you saw me. So I want to jump ahead and talk about where you are right now and then go back and say, how did you get here? So that was all kind of everything you just discussed was like your lead up to like really starting to take this stuff seriously and saying like, no, I'm going to fucking fix this.
Yeah.
Let's jump ahead to like, where are you now? And like, what stuff have you fixed? And then we'll go back and say like, how did you do it? So right now, how many times have you been laid? As in your penis, this thing has entered a vagina and gone in there. For anyone listening to the audio, I'm making like rude gestures that look like sex. So how many times have you had sexual coital relations intercourse?
Well, with 12 women, I don't know how many times, sometimes more than that, because there have been a couple of repeat customers.
So guys listening, I want you to listen to everything that just got said. Super depressed, super anxious. Performance anxiety to the point where, and we'll talk about this in a second, your dick literally wouldn't work. And I had to convince you that I promise you eventually it will work. I promise you. You're not broken. I promise you. You know, all these other issues, no friends, doubts about women, thinking that like women don't want to have sex. You've now had sex with 12 women. So anyone out there, you can just pause the podcast right now if you want to. Go away. That's fine. You've heard the main point. Don't ever come to me and say, or don't ever come to anyone and say, hey, I'm a virgin. I'm 28. It's too late for me. It's like 31 virgin, all these issues, had sex with 12 women now. You've only been working on this stuff for what? Like hardcore working on it for like what? 2 years at this point?
2 years, yeah.
And that's not wait 2 years and then have sex. You were having sex in that whole time. Of course you were. Like,
yeah.
You had sex reasonably early on. And let's keep bragging, dude, because like you do deserve, part of this podcast was I said to you, I want to do this podcast partly to inspire other people, but also partly to give some, to shine some light on some of your achievements. And I know that you're a very humble person and you can be like, stop it, Andy, stop. But you recently had sex with three girls in one day, in the same day, or it was in a 30-hour period.
Friday afternoon to Sunday night. Yeah. One Friday afternoon, one Friday night, and one Saturday night.
Within 46 hours, you had sex with three women.
Yep.
That's pretty baller. You recently, as in like a couple of days ago, in one day did 25 approaches. You walked up to 25 women that you've never met in your entire life and you said, hey, you're cute. And you got 7 phone numbers out of doing that.
Yep.
These are big achievements, dude. We haven't even started talking about this. You've recently started taking photos with models, like actual models for your Tinder. You've been just hiring a bunch of models from Instagram or from another photographer that you found on Instagram, and he knows a few models as well. And you've gone out and done some photo shoots with actual models. Guys, go on my forums and you can look at these pictures. Ed's put them up on my forums. And these are like legit solid fucking pictures. Like, you look, everyone said, even I said, I was like, what the fuck? This isn't you. What the fuck is this? Like, this is amazing. What the fuck? Now I'm jealous. I should go out and take some photos. So taking photos with models, 3 lays in 46 hours, 25 approaches in one day. You're a player. Like, the only thing left you have to do is, like, I don't know, have sex in a supermarket, in a grocery store while singing the American national anthem, pledging allegiance. That's the only player thing you have left on your bucket list, I feel like. In other words, I'm saying good fucking job.
Yeah. I mean, in addition to those 12 that I had sex with, there were 11 more that I was like physical with. So either she didn't want to have sex or I wasn't feeling like having sex or something like that, but we still got, you know, naked or mostly naked and fooled around. So yeah, it's 23 women total that I've been like in bed with, at least partially naked.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of those girls, in fact, was like super hot. Like, I don't know, put a number on it, 8.5, 9 out of 10. Like, not the hottest girl in the world, but like, if you told me that like I was only ever going to have sex with girls that hot for the rest of my life, like, I don't think I'd really have any complaints.
And to be fair, you've shown me quite a few photos, like a few different profiles from different girls that you've met up with and had some fun with. And I go like, holy shit, dude, like, what the fuck? This girl's a goddamn cutie pie. Like, holy crap, dude. And again, like, yeah, same. Some of the girls that you've shown me, if I only got to have sex with girls that look like that for the rest of my life, I'd be like fucking happy. Like, you've come a hell of a long way. And that wasn't the way that it was in the early days. Like, you did just early on, you kind of kept an open mind. We went through this process where it was like, just go on dates with almost anyone that will go on dates with you. You don't have to sleep with them. Just go and get some dating experience. You did quite a bit of that early on, where you would go on dates that were maybe like less conventionally attractive, but they were like, you know, lovely chicks, and you just go on a date and like get some experience. And then you obviously, like, slowly over time, it's like your standards increased, you know what I mean? As you got more experience. So when we first started doing coaching and shit, like, you had big feelings of hopelessness. I think we can talk more than anything about two points. First of all, that I can ever actually get attractive girls. And then the second one was, if I'm in the bedroom, will I even be able to get an erection? Because, like, I've had all these anxieties, you know, I'm worried that that won't get fixed. That's obviously something you worked through. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. Like, how did you work through the performance anxiety? What tricks worked for you? What didn't? What did you try? You know, what were the struggles? How did you, because now, like, you know, you still have some anxiety. I know that, but like, you can get an erection. Like, you can have a good time with a girl. You've done it fucking 12 times, right? So we'll talk about that in a second. But I guess what I'd start with is, if there's a guy who's listening right now and he's a virgin or he's got massive performance anxiety and he's thinking like, it's too late for me, or I'm too old, or I can't do this, or I have too far to go, or my dick won't work or anything, what would you say to those guys? Like, it's too late for me now, I'm too old, like, blah, blah, blah.
I tell them that it's possible that, like I said, you're not an expert, so don't take your opinion for truth. You know, look to other people that have done it. You know, they know much more about the topic than you do. So, you know, take their opinion on it instead of your own. I went through my therapy book that I'd gone through the years to kind of see what sort of tidbits I'd like written down. Some of the things were just like, you know, just tell yourself like things will get better. Just take it one day at a time. Like, there's a lot of baby steps along the way. One of my my therapist would always tell me, he said, be nice to my friend Ed. Like, be nice to yourself.
Bro, yep. That's one of my favorite things that I tell people. Like, you got to be a best friend to yourself. Like, however the fuck you would treat your friend, you got to treat yourself like that. Like, if you wouldn't be a complete asshole to yourself, to a friend, you can't be saying negative, horrible shit in your own head to yourself, because that's fucked up.
Like, it takes courage to just keep going forward sometimes. So give yourself like credit for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just tell yourself that, that you're going to do these things and they are doable.
On the topic of doable, how did you tell yourself that you would eventually get there and not get overwhelmed by how far you had left to go? Like, how did you focus just on the day-to-day and kind of ignore like, oh my God, I still have all this stuff left to do.
I think the sort of shortcut that you had recommended where we don't focus on sex, don't focus on having intercourse when I'm with a girl, that helped a lot. Cause that, you know, cause then start thinking about all that. You know, you can't even talk to a girl without thinking about like, well, if I, what if I get her in bed and then it doesn't work out? You kind of got to put those thoughts aside and just be okay with, yeah, taking those like smaller steps and not psyching yourself out about the whole thing along the way.
And being patient for sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Looking in more realistic timelines as well helps you, you kind of be a little more patient. Like a lot of guys will come and say like, okay, I have to lose my virginity immediately. And yeah, I'm all for that, of course. And like, I need to be having threesomes. I need to be buff in the gym. I need to do this and that and the other. And if you're someone that has a lot of deep issues like you did, you don't get to be 31 and be a virgin when you've had like a bunch of opportunities. Like there are deeper things going on there. It doesn't just happen by bad luck. And so if you're someone who has those things to work through, you kind of do need to be a little more patient and tell yourself like, this might take me fucking 6 months. This might take me a year. Mm-hmm. It will be a year well spent, or it probably won't take you a year, but it might take you a few months to work through some of the stuff that's been holding you back. There are reasons if you're a virgin and you're in your late 20s or 30s, there's probably some things there. There's probably like you don't feel like you deserve sex, or you don't feel like you deserve women to be nice to you, or you know, your parents were awful to you as a kid, like something like that. And so I am always a big fan of taking action. So I'm not saying go away and sit in the woods for like 6 months and don't work on yourself and don't take action. Of course, you need to be doing that, but you do need to be a little more patient. And when some of those negative feelings come up, or the insecurities, or the feelings of like, I can't do this, this isn't me, you kind of have to be a little patient with yourself and not beat yourself up. And you were someone who, you've gotten way better at this. You were already reasonably okay at not beating yourself up too much in the early days, but like you're way better at that now. I'd say that's one of the biggest changes that I notice in you as your coach. Like when we sit down for a call, you now don't get as disheartened. How many times did we sit down and like, you were just in a very disheartened mood. You're like, you know, you weren't crazy negative, but like now it's night and day. Like you sit down, you're just like, here's the problems. Let's fucking, can you tell me what to do to fix them? Okay, cool. I also want to talk about this for like 15 minutes. Cool. We're done. Like, great. Brilliant. Whereas in the early days, it was like a lot of the time I had to kind of convince you, like, trust me, I promise you will make it. I promise you're not a loser. I promise you can do this. I know this is hard. I know you're going through the period right now that really sucks, but I promise you, you'll come out the other end. So that's probably the biggest change that I've seen in you is like, you're now this guy who's like, no, I know I can do it. Like you know that you can achieve things now. Mm-hmm. And that just comes from taking baby steps. Proud of you, man. I'm really fucking proud of you.
Thank you. One of the other things my therapist said was that like you have like worn like neural pathways. So it will take time to change. Like your brain is like physically, your neurons are arranged to have certain thought patterns. So that's going to take time to like rewire that, like in a literal sense, like literally rewiring the neurons to like having, you know, a better outlook on things.
Yeah, there's that saying, I can't remember what it is. It's something like neurons that fire together, wire together. And the whole point of that is that's what we talk about when we say habits. If you've had a certain habit, you've basically been programming or training those neurons to like keep firing and keep growing, and you're strengthening that neural pathway. I know I'm talking super nerdy shit here, but basically that's how a habit forms. The same pathways in your brain light up over and over and over again, and they literally become stronger. There are more neural pathways. Those become thicker. Like there is literal brain changes in your brain. That's what a fucking habit is. And so for you to change, you know, those habits, you have to kind of atrophy those old habits, those old neurons, the old pathways, and build new ones. And that does take time. It does take a bit of practice. One final thing I want to say while we're talking about like where you are right now and where you've come from and stuff, and we'll talk about the virginity stuff in a second. How tall are you, Mr. Ed?
I'm 5'6", 5'6" and
no, I will never accept any fucking cunt. I'm going to use that word. You don't get to be a whinging cunt coming to me and saying, oh, I'm short. And you're going to love this, dudes. Guys will come up. Guys will say like, I'm 5'8". And it's like, shut the fuck up. My friend Ed, or my client Ed, like 5'6", virgin, 31, all these things, all this shit he had to work through. Please don't let height be an excuse. That's why I'm saying it. I'm not saying it to be an asshole, but like, please guys, don't let height be a deal breaker. For you, what would you say to any guy who's like, I'm sure I can't get laid? Like, how did you get laid?
Girls that are shorter than 5'6".
It's like the most simple solution. I've said this so many times where guys will be like, I'm only 5'10 or I'm 5 this or I'm whatever. And I'll be like, okay, well then your dating pool is slightly smaller than mine. Now go. There's still like 2 billion women on the planet that you can sleep with, or 1 billion or whatever. It's like, cool. Your dating pool is like half the size of mine. Great. Brilliant. Guess what? That's still like almost infinite options. It feels like infinite options. It's not like you're in a small town and there's like 5 women shorter than you. If it's really an issue, move to a bigger city, which, you know, you did do. Well, you moved to a different city. We can talk about that later. But yeah, guys, don't let that be an excuse. Ed can get laid. That means that some women don't. Okay, do you ever find that hilarious on a different topic? Like, well, the same topic, but a different angle. Do you ever find it hilarious, the guys who are like, short guys can't get laid? It's like this form of like self-hatred. I get the same stuff with bald guys. Like, bald guys can't get laid. And it's like, I'm getting laid and I'm bald. No fucking hair. Oh, but you're wearing a hat. Yeah, and I have to take the hat off when I have sex with them. Well, they'd say to you, I can't remember if you're wearing the boots, but I do advise like shorter guys, just wear some boots that add height to your, you know, the
I haven't tried that yet,
but sole boots. Yeah, so you're not even fucking doing that. But guys will say like, oh, but you know, then what if I take the boots off? Yeah, cool. Then she'll see that you're slightly shorter and then you'll figure it, like, she'll still sleep with you. So it's such a dumb excuse. Do you find it hilarious when guys say to you,
yeah,
short guys can't get laid? It's like a self-hatred thing.
From my perspective, I'm just like genuinely not attracted to women who are taller than me. So it's literally just a reduction in the dating pool. Like, it doesn't, like, I don't understand. Like, if someone's my height, yeah, like, upset that he can't like have sex with like 6 foot women or something, like, you want to have sex with 6 foot women? I mean, I guess maybe if you're in that boat, it might be an issue, but yeah, it's just, that's why I think it's so silly, like you were saying.
Yeah, it's goofy as fuck. It's like the bald man thing. I'm bald. All right, guys, we will cut the podcast right now. We're going to come back and do a part two of this. So if you're enjoying this so far, check in tomorrow and see where we go. We're going to talk about Ed losing his virginity, how he actually did that, how he dealt with his performance anxiety, some techniques that I gave him, some that he figured out on his own. And we're going to talk about, like, I guess we'll also have a chat about how you overcame women, or the notion that women won't want to have casual sex, like how you wrapped your head around that and became okay with a guy, with being a guy who wants to have casual sex. So tune in tomorrow, guys. Thank you, Ed, for coming on. We'll finish the next part tomorrow. All right, guys, hope you enjoyed the first part of this series. So again, we're going to do the second part of this podcast tomorrow. And if you'd like to be a coaching client of mine, just like Ed is, send me a message. I'll kick your ass into gear, all that good stuff. I'll leave a link in the description below. I do, however, want to make it clear that I only work with guys who are serious about changing and getting their life together. So only contact me if you're willing to go all in and do whatever it takes to succeed. I'm not interested in anyone who wants to half-ass their life. So if you're willing to do whatever it takes, hit me up. Let's make it happen.